This week on Making Contact.
The exclusion of women from every aspect of life is one of the problems that Palestinian women face.
One cannot neglect half of society and at the same time call for freedom and democracy. Women are half of society and therefore cannot be ignored.
The long tradition of Palestinian women's movements are little known in the West, where Arab women are often portrayed as bad mothers, veiled, and shut up in their homes. On this edition, correspondent Sarah Olson talks with Palestinian women about their experiences fighting for peace, democracy, and gender equality. I'm Amy Pomerleau, your host on Making Contact, an international radio program creating connections between people, vital ideas, and important information.
أنا حكيت بداية إنه دائما كانت المرأة تكون هناك مؤسسات نسوية في المجتمع توجد يعني أو موجودة.
There have always been women's organizations that struggled for the liberation of women. The Women's Union started in 1929.
Entisar Salman is an organizer with the Palestinian Center for Peace and Democracy based in Tulkarm.
يعني بعتقد إنه المرأة كمان حست بالظلم المجتمعي.
The rights accorded to women were not commensurate with the contribution and sacrifices they made to society. Women were always struggling side by side with the men, and women gave a lot. When it came to women taking high posts of responsibility in government, it was noticed that the role of women was restricted, and we were required to stay at home. There are women prisoners and martyrs, women who entered into the streets and led demonstrations. Women had a clear presence, but were later marginalized in positions in the parties and on the Palestinian political arena, and were expected to stay at home.
It's for this reason that Entisar Salman leads workshops on how to involve women in more aspects of civic discourse. For her, the goal is to make democracy an integrated part of the Palestinian community. The Israeli occupation of Palestinian land and the struggle for gender equity, she says, have made this a challenging task.
Freedom, justice, and equality, respect for the law, and pluralism are all subjects that need to be discussed and acted upon. We must work to have justice, equality, work for women's rights, for the rule of law, political pluralism. These are all attributes of a democracy. So if all of these things were practiced and observed, it would be possible for democracy to be applied.
Diana Boutu is a lawyer for the Palestinian negotiating team. She says it's hard to look objectively at the situation facing Palestinians today after 4 years of the Second Intifada. The Second Intifada, which means uprising, is the Palestinian resistance movement against the Israeli occupation.
Over the course of the past 4 years, not only have things gotten worse, but we've gotten used to things getting worse. And it's a friend tells me, I don't know if the story is true, that if you put a frog into hot water, it'll immediately jump out. But if you put a frog into cold water and turn up the heat, the frog will eventually die because it doesn't realize that it's getting so hot. And that's what I feel is happening here in Palestine. If I had first been dropped into this situation 4 years ago, I would have realized that it was hot and left. But living here and seeing the day-to-day escalation of things, whether it's the first checkpoint that's erected or the first assassination that you witness or the day-to-day killings that you then start to see, to then actually experiencing, as I did experience, the Israeli army taking me out of my house at gunpoint, to then seeing the wall go up, you don't realize when the end point is and when it's gotten too hot. And that's what it's been like for us living here in the West Bank, is that we're the level of escalation has increased almost daily, that we just don't even remember what it was like 4 years ago.
Hanan Salman, manager of the Palestinian Women's Institute in Tulkarm, organizes a variety of groups helping women attain financial stability. She says the occupation has had enormous impact on the economic well-being of women in the community. It's created obstacles to proper healthcare, mobility, food security, and jobs.
طبعا احنا حاليا بنشتغل مع تجمعات كبيره من النساء.
We are currently working with a large number of women's groups in the Tulkarem area. We find out what their needs are and try to meet those needs. Now, of course, when Israel started building the apartheid wall, we worked on organizing the women whose lands and homes were confiscated. We organized them in the group Movement of Women Against the Wall. We worked with the women who were adversely impacted by the wall, who lost their homes and their agricultural lands, and who could not get to their place of work because of the wall. Now we're helping these women to organize themselves and work in an effective way against the wall. There is an unemployment rate exceeding 70%. A large number of women who worked in textile factories in the Tulkarem area cannot reach their place of work because of the wall. Our economy is also closely linked to the Israeli economy, and the factories could no longer get the necessary raw materials, so this problem was compounded with respect to working women. We also noticed that the Palestinian women bore the brunt of the occupation. The wall impacted the entire Palestinian population, but women were particularly hard hit.
To address unemployment, Hanan Salman began a women's credit union, which funds women entrepreneurs throughout the entire region.
Yes,
the program of loans and provision of funds was also an important part of our work. We tried to collect 10 dinars from each woman per month, and these funds would be given to one woman at the end of each month so that she could get provisions for her family. This idea was adopted by the Agrarian Relief Organization and was applied to the entire West Bank and Gaza. In the Tulkarem area, we have 450 participants in this project. We have granted about 40 loans to women who have initiated successful projects and now are able to provide for their families. Some women raised sheep, some opened up supermarkets. These projects were quite successful. For example, one woman bought 4 heads of sheep, which have now multiplied in numbers. She was able to pay back her loans and still buy some more sheep. Other women set up boutiques in their houses to sell clothes and shoes to provide for their families. Still, others were able to cultivate small plots of land to produce crops and provide an income for their families in that way. We have continued to work on these projects because we found them to be very profitable for the women. Some women were extremely poor and living in rundown homes, their husbands having lost their jobs, and they themselves not able to find any work. So this program had a long-term beneficial effect for them and their families.
The occupation also affects women working the land. As more Israeli borders are closed, many Palestinians previously employed in the industrial sector are now turning to agriculture for a sustainable livelihood.
When we came back, when my father died, I decided I will not leave my land until I die. I will not leave my land.
Fatima Haldi is originally from the Rafah refugee camp in Gaza. She has a degree in social work from Jerusalem University, but after years of working as a substance abuse counselor and a women's advocate in Jerusalem, she returned to the Salfit region of the West Bank, where she has been farming ever since.
You will see the women growing everything. They care about the land, they put the water for the land, they make vegetables, they make everything, the work from the women. Also here, my grandmother, any women here, they are work to make the olives big. When you go to pick the olives, many women pick the olives. Not the men. The men always, they are work in the settlement or in the job. But many women work in the land. This is a relation. I see the men, the women and the land the same.
Placing her hand on her heart, she continues.
We are here warm, and the land is warm for us. They give us the life. Also, the women give us the life.
For Fatima, farming in the West Bank requires political involvement. The construction of the wall throughout the West Bank, land confiscation, and a heightened military presence in the region inspired Fatima's increased activism. After some time, other women joined her.
Many women come with me because
many women, they are work in the land. I see many women, old women, who work in the land many, many years. They will lost the olives. They will lost the land, grapes and vegetables and water. I see many women, they are weaver, crank. They say, this is my life. How I can continue without this land?
One of the most ubiquitous impacts of the occupation are the checkpoints and roadblocks that litter the landscape of the West Bank and Gaza, and the identification requirements that go with them. When a woman gets married, she goes to live with her husband. But if her husband lives in a different region, it can be difficult for her to get proper relocation permission from the Israeli authorities. According to Ahlam, a participant in a women's empowerment group run by the Palestinian Counseling Center in East Jerusalem, it's difficult to move through the numerous checkpoints in the West Bank.
We've been married now for 11 years and have applied for family unification. We kept following up. They kept giving us more paperwork and then delaying. It's like they aim to make you helpless. Bring vaccination documents, official personal documents, academic test scores. Every time we go to the Ministry of the Interior, we bring them a full dossier. Despite that, even with a permit in hand, we stand at the checkpoints, denied entry, not knowing what to do. Being helpless, the only thing left is to go through the mountains. It is very difficult. I am now pregnant, and I keep wondering what will happen if I get to a checkpoint when I'm about to give birth and they turn me back. To stay in touch with the world around me, I read a lot of books and magazines. I've stopped visiting relatives and friends and leave the house only when necessary.
Another area where Palestinian women have been organizing is around political prisoners. Khalida Jarar is the director of Adamir, a prisoner and human rights advocacy organization based in Ramallah. She says while Palestinian men are often the target of the Israeli military, there have also been over 1,000 female political prisoners since the beginning of the Second Intifada.
Our lawyers visited a woman in an interrogation center in Petah Tikva. Her name is Maha. The main problem that they faced, beside isolating, not allowing the lawyers for a long time to meet with them, also that she has her period. And they didn't give them anything to put or to use. And beside the isolation and beside the situation inside the cell under interrogation itself. Because it's really the main problem that they face at that moment.
In December 2004, women in one of the detention centers organized a hunger strike to protest the conditions there. They were especially concerned about harsh punishments, access to lawyers, adequate food and health care, and they wanted to end the strip searches and abusive interrogations.
We'll have more about Palestinian women working towards social justice and gender equality in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for cassette or CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org.
According to Entisar Salman at the Palestinian Center for Peace and Democracy, the Israeli occupation affects the educational development of Palestinian society.
The educational policy of the occupation before the onset of the national authority was designed to keep the people ignorant. It depicted women as staying at home and doing housework. In the curriculum, we learned, mother sweeps the floor, Rabab is helping her, dad is reading the newspaper, and Bassem is playing next to him. The role of men was to go to work, while that of women was to do housework. So there was a systematic attempt to instill in the minds of girls and women that their place was in the home, while that of men was to go to work. This was designed to systematically cause a wrong social development. They used to implant in the minds of our children a wrong curriculum, and this reflected itself in society, in terms of the roles of men and women. I'm sure that if there had been a Palestinian authority, things would have been entirely different. When the occupation started, we did not learn about our history. We used to learn only about European history. We did not know about our villages or cities until the onset of the national authority.
Salman says the stagnation of the educational system denied Palestinian society a natural development of gender roles.
The educational policy used to teach our children through the curriculum that the place of women was restricted to the home and doing housework, while men went out to work and only worked outside the home. So this developed in us with the curriculum. When you teach that to girls and women, it is like telling them that this is the path they have to follow. This is their role in society. Women are supposed to stay at home, and so education and a career are not important for women because her role is only to give birth and to do housework. So the occupation institutionalized the oppression of women. It is the real reason why women are oppressed.
For social justice within the Palestinian society, it's not enough for women to participate in political struggles or civic discourse, says Intisar Salman. They also need to be represented in positions of power.
In the first Intifada, the women entered into the streets and participated in large numbers in the struggle. A study which was done indicated that around 60% of women participated alongside men in the struggle. After Oslo and the onset of the national authority, we noticed that the role of women was marginalized. Women did not take their deserved positions in the national authority. For that reason, women became aware of their condition and organized themselves in women's movements. We all know that our society is male-dominated, and that men decide everything. Our cause as women is the cause of women all over the world. The Palestinian woman always got involved in the national struggle and would overlook her social condition. Now she struggles in both fronts, in her struggle for liberation and her national struggle.
The Palestinian women's problems, first and foremost, are like the problems of any women in the world within a system of patriarchy where the balance of powers is not in the favor of women.
Randa Senora is director of El Haq, a Palestinian human rights organization based in Ramallah. She says the conspicuous absence of women within the Palestinian legislature accounts for many of the problems women face today.
We are not in decision-making processes. The legislation themselves are put by men. The policies are put by men. And therefore, the exclusion of women from every aspect of life is one of the problems that Palestinian women face in an imbalance of powers where they are not in the decision-making processes.
Hanan Salman of the Palestinian Women's Institute agrees that women can and should be equal to men in power and civic discourse.
I believe that women constitute half of society. One cannot neglect half of society and at the same time call for freedom and democracy. Women are half of society and therefore cannot be ignored. Political work is linked to social work, and the two cannot be disconnected. We cannot disable society by marginalizing women. The Palestinian woman has proven her competence by continuously taking part in the struggle, and so it is her right to take part in the construction process, the development of a nation. From the beginning of the occupation, the Palestinian woman has had a prominent role, a clear role. She is the martyr's sister, the detainee's sister, the prisoner's mother, and has taken part in the past and current intifadas. She had a clear role in the Intifada of 1987 and in the current Intifada. The Palestinian woman who endured all the hardships has the right to take part in decision-making. In the elections of 1996, the participation of women was very meager. Only 5 out of 88 members of the Legislative Council were women. I consider this a very meager portion. Because of all these things, because women have struggled just as much as the men have under the Israeli occupation, it is also our right to take part in the final decision-making process, in the final building of a nation.
Randa Senora at El Haq says ending the Israeli occupation has taken precedence, while women's social initiatives have been set aside.
Many of the societal issues that we have initially started and gave it momentum has been relegated again and given less attention by a situation where there is political conflict taking place over other issues. The same argument that is always being brought, there are priorities and this is not our priority at the time being, is made all the time. What they say that women should shut up a little bit now. There are incursions on Palestinians, there are raids, there are shelling of Palestinian homes. We cannot speak about legislation. There's no political process. There's no Palestinian authority. Yes, understanding all of that, at the same time, there are needs of women. They are victims of the violence. They are subjected to different kind of abuse that should not be, we cannot be silenced about it.
The prioritizing of issues related to the occupation is not just sidelining women's issues, says Intisar Salman. It's sidelining women themselves, just when it was conceivable that they might be able to participate in the creation of a new government.
Suddenly, women realized we did not get what we deserved. We had been fighting for freedom and against the occupation, side by side with our male counterparts, just as hard as our male counterparts. And suddenly, when the fight was over, after Oslo, and the positions of power, and positions of responsibility, and decision-making were being given out, we were looked over. We were being encouraged to go back to the home, to the original role of homemaker and mother and nurturer. And that's when more and more women realized that we put in the same amount of time and the same amount of energy and put in just as strong a fight as the men. And just as many women demonstrated and just as many women died for the cause. But suddenly, we weren't allowed to make the grand decisions on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the resistance. And we weren't allowed to sit in power or join in the decision-making process for the future of the nation. We had been aiming at national freedom, and we forgot that we had to also look over ourselves. We didn't realize that we were going to be passed over like that. And it was a bit of a shock and a bit of a disappointment. And now the struggle is to bring gender equality up to speed so that we can enjoy both.
Women in Nicaragua, Algeria, and elsewhere around the world have experienced similar treatment by men in a post-revolutionary society. Khalida Jarar at Adamir, speaking from an office high above a busy Ramallah street, says it's vital that women's issues get addressed now rather than being pushed aside until the question of the Israeli occupation is settled. She says any emergent government, true to the principles of democracy and social justice, must consider gender equality.
We should not accept, this is my opinion, first of all, the woman issue, it's not only a woman issue. It's a community and a democratic issue. Any political party who says that he's a democratic party should work for the woman issue like it's their issue. Second, it's very important to have this kind of related. Not to say it's not the time. No, it's the time. Because if we don't do it now, we could not do it later.
El Haq's Randa Senora says there's another reason why it's so crucial to address gender issues along with other political and societal issues.
In reality, when you're frustrated, when a man with the male features that are all the time established or reiterated in our culture, that men are the protectors, men are the heads of the households, that their word should be heard, that all of these patriarchal concepts that are linked with this power relation in our society between men and women, it is very difficult for the man who is being the power figure within the family to be beaten up before his kids, or not to be able to protect his children, who expect him to be the hero of the household and who would protect them. So what's happening is that he's being beaten in front of his children. How could he manifest his power again? It's through beating his children or his wife. So it's a very strong, vicious circle. Sometimes it's very hard to do this, draw this causal relationship, but it is very much the case that when you have violence in the streets, when there are issues are not resolved through discussions, debates, and so on, but are resolved through violence, this violence is reflected within the society.
Growing up in a time of national resistance, the younger generation of Palestinian women has learned to be politically active. When Eltazan Marar is not going to school, she's organizing young women for nonviolent struggle against the wall in her village of Budras.
Me, myself, when I was little young, and I was always hearing from my grandmother, my mother, about my uncles, my fathers, and what they did, and why they are in the prison, and I always said, oh my God, I want to be like one, like them, like my father, my uncles. I want to do something for Palestine. When I was very, my dream, like as a Palestinian woman, I wanted to participate in the resistance. I know I can't fight like men. I mean, like holding a gun or something. I think it's not suitable for me. So I didn't like this kind. And then I said, okay, I will be a doctor.
And I'm just wondering why you think it's important for young women to participate in the resistance in Palestine.
Because they are part of Palestine. They are part of the society. So, like, this question should be, I mean, why do I think that the men should participate? It's important for Palestine, for all the Palestinian people to resist the occupation, because we all need to have our own freedom. So as a part of Palestinian society, women think that it's very important to participate, and especially in this resistance, like the resistance need every part of the society, need the women with the men, elders with young. So the resistance want all of us to participate. So I think that will be like a perfect resistance.
For Making Contact, I'm Sarah Olson in the West Bank, Palestine.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Nadine Gamache, Sylvia Sweden, and Sandra Lupien. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Making Contact is an independent production, funded primarily by individual contributors. We are committed to providing a forum for voices and opinions not often heard in the mass media. If you'd like to support our work, or if you have suggestions for future programs, we'd love to hear from you. For a cassette or CD copy of the program, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Justin Beck, associate producer, Rishan McKee, office manager, Dorian Taylor, outreach and distribution, Peggy Law, founding director, Norman Solomon, senior advisor, David Barsamian, national advisor, and I'm your host and production director, Amy Pomerleau.